Hey, it's me, Orko. This episode of Matters of the Universe is episode number 9, The Dragon Invasion. A great name for a heavy metal band, a fairly tepid name for an episode. Guys, do you like eggs? Well, if you do, boy oh boy, this episode's for you. Matt, take it from here, or go away! I'm in the corner watching you sleep.
Welcome to Matters of the Universe, Season 1, Episode 9, The Dragons...
No, the Dragon Invasion.
The Dragon Invasion. I'm Matt Noss. With me is Matt Rose and Eric Hankey.
Hey!
Woo. Behind the wheels of steel, once again, it's good to see you, my friend.
Wheels of steel.
Love it. So good.
Oh my God.
Today we are doing Episode 9... The Dragon Invasion. Matt, you've done some research on this episode.
I've done a little bit of research. So this aired September 8th, 1983. This was the 9th episode produced, but the 4th to air, which is weird. It was written by a guy named Michael Reeves. Now, Michael Reeves, he was a writer for Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond. He won a 1993 Daytime Emmy for Batman the Animated Series.
What?
He also had episodes for shows such as Buck Rogers, Star Trek The Next Generation, the 80s version of The Twilight Zone, The Real Ghostbusters, Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, and Gargoyles. But what I think is going to blow your mind, he wrote a book that the two of us really liked when we were kids, and... I don't remember. What was the book that made you chase Larry Slapienza around the...
I believe it was the Treasure Island one.
Okay. So it wasn't Sword of the Samurai.
No. But
because
I had
he wrote Sword of the Samurai.
I had Sword of the Samurai.
I know. So did I. I don't like to say steal, but I long-term borrowed it from Phil Segella. He did not chase me around the... the yard going dead meat, but yeah, no, I definitely had that book in my possession while it was not legally obtained, whatever. But yeah, I thought that like when I was reading that, I saw that and I was like, holy crap, that's nuts.
When you said Buck Rogers, as in the live action,
the Gil Gerard
awesome
TV show with Twiggy and Aaron Gray,
love that show. Why aren't we doing this with that show?
Have you watched the show in the past 20 years?
Yeah, it's pretty bad, isn't it?
It is. It is not a good show. It was so corny.
Not to digress too much.
But it had Aaron Gray. So it's like, well...
This is what I'm saying. But they had... Didn't they have like a... Like, the first season was completely different from the second and on seasons where... I think they had the Hawkman dude.
Yeah.
And then after
Stratos.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway. Sorry.
So did anybody see this episode live? Like when it aired?
I do not remember this episode.
I don't remember this episode at all.
I mean, I don't remember most of these episodes. Obviously, I remember the Black Pudding one, right?
Right.
It's like... That one, I always really liked that one, and I almost never saw it.
For loving He-Man as much as I did, these shows are washing over me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't recall any of this. But my love of He-Man, still intact, but the facade is crumbling.
You know what? For me, it's not. I look at it for what it was, and I just try to approach these. I mean, you know, it's going to be hard for me to not approach them as an adult watching them, but I try to remember how much I liked stuff when I was a kid. I mean, you know, I loved He-Man when I was a kid. I don't remember this particular episode, but that is not the point.
I wrote this down actually near the end of this one, but it seems like the writing across the board is so much from the perspective of like an 8 or 9 year old. And I don't mean that in a diminutive way, but they end up, it's like, what if Skeletor just like touched the circle that's in the middle of his thing and his ride came?
It's an ex-cop situation.
Oh my God, yes.
Wait, what?
It's an ex-cop situation.
What the hell is an ex-cop situation?
Do you know ex-cop?
Ex-cop?
Oh, the movie,
It was a cartoon that, it was an animated strip first and like a web comic first. And it was a artist father went to his son and was like, I'm going to animate whatever you say. And his son is like, okay, I want a story about a cop. And it was like, basically he was like, okay, what does the cop do? He has an axe. It's like, okay, so he's an axe cop. And he has auditions for sidekicks. All right. And one of the cops is called Flute Cop. So it's like a little kid just telling his dad.
That makes sense.
And it actually became a Fox animated series. So if you have Hulu, you can watch some Axe Cop.
Okay. All right.
But exactly. That's how it feels. Like all of the narratives are so loosely even based on like actual like fantasy tropes. It's just what's the Ex Machina thing? Like,
oh, Deus Ex Machina.
How does that work? It's
the god of the machine.
Whenever they need something to happen, then
it happens.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So hey, guys, let's start this app.
Do it.
So something to note, something that you did not see,
came in about seven minutes late.
Yep. This had the intro that was different from the rest of them.
Yep.
Where it had the Sorceress Orko and Man at Arms, you know, doing like their Charlie's Angels pose or whatever.
Okay.
That was the only difference.
That was the only difference.
Intro, but you know,
does that carry on or?
No, I think it switches. You know what? Actually, I think maybe because this was. Wait, no, this wasn't. I was going to say it must have been something about production, and then I realized, like, no, it can't be because this was ninth produced, fourth aired.
Mm-hmm.
This is weird, man. I don't get it.
Everything's weird about this show. Everything's weird about this show, too, because it opens up, and it's called Dragon Invasion, and the first thing you hear is...
Oh, that's right. You hear the wolf.
You hear a wolf.
Yep. But then you see like these weird spiny mountains where it
really is an H.R. Giger homage.
Mm-hmm.
Not a straight off like ripoff, but like there are some.
Yeah, I mean, there's no like giant rock penises and stuff, but
it's close.
Well, but I mean, yeah, there's a lot of I mean, let's face it. Basically, everything in He-Man and the Masters of the Universe is a giant penis.
But, true.
But
including Prince Adam, come on.
Yeah.
this episode has a huge exposition dump because it opens with the longest pan that they can possibly do on rocks. They're like, oh boy, how much script do we have? 19 minutes.
All right. Keep scrolling.
How much panning can we do? Well, I got a good 45 seconds at the beginning just on rocks alone. Cool. Just drop that one soundtrack for the evil guys we have.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Slow pan of rocks.
Ow, ow, ow.
Ow. Yeah, they're like, well, we burn a minute with the He-Man animation at the beginning.
Slow down the wolf.
It just sounds like someone wounded in a field. Eternia is a mess.
So,
all right.
So it gets to Beastman and Skeletor, and they're about to steal this big clutch of eggs.
Yep.
We
They're
don't know
stealing a carton of dragon eggs.
Yeah. So we come to find out.
I'm not. This is no hyperbole.
No, no, he's like, not kidding. They are in a giant magical carton or
egg
whatever.
Crate, yeah.
Yeah. And so turns out, Merman sold Skeletor the dragon pearl. For some Eternian silver because he's a boob or whatever.
Yeah. Skeletor cannot shut up to Beast Man about what an idiot Merman is.
Yeah.
Like, ah! He did it. He told me where this clutch of eggs was, and then he sold me this dragon's pearl for Eternian silver, not knowing the true value. What a boob!
Yeah. That is almost verbatim what the conversation was.
It seared my ears like a laser.
Yeah. and Beastman does not like the way that Skeletor is talking to him.
Beastman's taken no guff in this episode.
Yeah, he is not a fan of Skeletor's lip. Well, metaphorically speaking, his lip.
God, your teeth. You won't be talking to me like this for long.
What did you say?
Nothing.
Okay.
Here we go. Of course, the dragon's mother comes. They go, Skeletor's like, Beastman, take care of it. Beastman's like, I've got it. No problem. He does not have it.
The mother dragon. Yeah, the mother dragon just kind of looks at him like, Do you think you have control over me somehow?
And I love this so much. In every episode, nobody can just run. It's always like, quarter turn. Now we're running. It's just like you set yourself, then you turn, then you run. That's how Eternians run.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, though, that's also how Dan Aykroyd runs in Ghostbusters when they get their first call.
Very true.
Because he like gets up from the chair and he does like
that skip on one leg when he's running so fast.
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff. So, long story short, Skeletor, I don't know, uses some kind of magic, I guess, to blow the bridge up where the mother dragon is. She falls, we can only assume,
to her death.
And that's
when we're both like right
on the same page to her death.
Oh, that dragon's dead.
Yeah, she's dead as fuck.
She didn't have wings.
Oh, she did.
She did, but I mean, like, have you ever seen a dragon's wings in context to like their body? They're not that big. Well, at least the dragons in this show. Anyhow, she falls. Skeletor gloats where he's just like, I can't. And I mean, like, this was a thing that where I was kind of like, well, maybe things won't be that bad because he was like really excited to give him a new home. Like, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know how that dragon mother was. She could have been like terrible. We don't know.
Good point.
We don't know. So they get back to, I don't know, wherever.
Matt has lost interest in the episode.
Well, no, just.
Oh, man, Matt's nose is bleeding and he's passed out.
So it cuts back to Eternia. So they're in the castle and King Randor and the queen and the rest of the court and whatnot. Are eating dinner, and King Randor is like, hey, Skeletor, we'll have that last plate of food. This is where I found out, apparently, some of the food...
You mean Orko.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Orko. Fuck.
That was a twist.
Yeah, no, it was.
twist!
Yeah. So,
Skeletor's hungry!
Sorry. Orko. Apparently, some of the food comes from under Orko's robe, which I am not cool with.
Yeah,
and like, he takes this tray out and like puts it on the table, and there's a bunch of, I don't know, like fucking giant ass turkey drumsticks and shit. And King Randor
seems perfectly fine. Like, this is a thing that happens all the time. And then Orko pulls out, like, this huge fucking drumstick and just starts going to town on it. Like, he basically, like, puts it in, pulls out a dry-ass bone.
Yep.
And then just lays on the back, like, on the table, pats his fat belly.
Yep.
Just like, woo, too bad there isn't more of me. Or no, I'm sorry. Then the king goes, too bad there aren't more of you. You could eat twice as much. And then Orko's like, that's a great idea. And then, like, just makes another fucking Orko.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, you missed so much.
That's what I'm saying.
So then,
I undersold how much he missed.
You did. You were just like, I didn't miss much.
Loose dragon eggs.
Yeah.
That's all I wrote down. Dragon eggs.
Loose dragon eggs.
loose birds.
So, long story short, Orko eventually makes three other Orkos, and then they end up getting in a fight, and that's when Prince Adam lets out a little nugget. Hey guys, teamwork.
How about a little?
I caught that part.
Yeah, just guys, teamwork.
Which solves all kinds of problems. Like, did they just do? Did they post episode? The more you know,
yeah.
kind of thing at the beginning, and yeah. then
right. All right. Well, let's come back to that later. I'm like,
well, even you said like, did they do it already?
Right.
No, you were wrong.
Orko, for some reason, splits himself into two more Orkos for a total of four Orkos.
This is some kind of weird-ass SAT question.
And it's all working.
I believe it's Orkai. Go ahead.
There's four Orkai floating around, and Orko, the original, goes, wow, I'm pretty good at magic. And then all the Orkos are arguing, as Matt said. Mm-hmm. Prince Adam does the thing. They decide to work together, and what do they make? A beautiful star.
Some kind of like rainbow star or some shit.
And then it disappears with the other three Orkos.
Rainbows. This is the more you know.
Like, yep.
Jesus.
So, good up. Good up. We did it.
So after the rainbow disappears, Orko, justifiably, he's like, it's a pretty good trick, guys. What do you think? Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then kaboom, where he was like, that trick wasn't supposed to do that. A lot of me thought, like, none of your tricks are supposed to do whatever they end up doing, dummy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it turns out Dragon Egg crashed in the courtyard.
Right outside.
Yeah, and so they all kind of, like, walk over to the window, fucking Dragon Egg. Dragon Egg, like, opens up, and there's, just like a baby dragon. Orko's like, oh, baby dragon! Starts to talk about how, like, cute baby dragons are and shit.
All of a sudden,
it's a full-size fucking dragon. Starts whipping his tail and breathing fire and shit.
Growth serum. Am I right?
You got it
right. Yeah, you know it is. All
right.
Apparently, Skeletor scienced up some super growth formula and poof. I don't know how we got it, like, in the egg, but whatever. That doesn't matter.
Hey, man. There's only so many questions you can ask.
This is very true. This is very...
What if he had like growth serum, and then he marinated?
What if they just like put the egg in the growth serum, and like the shells soaked up some of it?
Yep.
Wouldn't that make the egg grow bigger?
Shut up, you. Nobody asked you for your science.
Well, no, that wouldn't have been science. That's okay.
Nobody asked. Nobody asked for your. Oh boy, that would have been. Such a great comment if I could remember alchemy at that moment.
That's okay.
All right. Here's the deal. Prince Adam goes away. It becomes He-Man. But this transformation, unlike any we've seen so far, because it's done in the shadows.
The hell?
And then, while he pulls out his magic sword, rocks fall on him.
Yeah, this is... And so I'm thinking, like,
oh.
There goes that episode.
No, that's just...
Prince Adam is dead as fuck.
Rest in peace, PA.
And that's when there's like, maybe like a 1 second gap where you're like.
Then the rocks have an outline inside Castle Grayskull. Kapow.
Boom.
I have the power. Everything's back to normal.
Yup.
Was it a He-Man size hole?
It was a He-Man size hole.
Nice. Like the outline of him.
Kind of. Yep. So now He-Man, Battle Cat, Ram Man for some reason magically appears.
Well, no, Ram Man shows up a little bit later because that's Battle Cat and Orko and He-Man go out to the window. Battle Cat jumps out and like is target practice for the dragon, where he's like, "Oh, over here!" And so the dragon's just like, "Foosh!"
I wrote it down. He goes, "Over here, dragon face." Oh, God. Dragon face. And then...
Because it's a dragon.
Because he's distracted. Then He-Man's like, well, I'm going to jump on him. I'm going to jump on him. And He-Man goes, ha ha, stay right there, flame face.
Oh, God.
So my guess, the writer's room of He-Man just had face on the top of a dartboard.
Characteristics
face. Of heat. We need seven faces for this episode. What do we got? Well, we hit three flames in a row, so we gotta use flame face. And the bullseye was hit, so we gotta use dragon face. Well, like the most obvious one is the hardest one to hit.
Right.
It was like the circle in the middle was dragon.
Right.
Then it was flame.
What are you gonna do?
What's the Greek myth about fire? Hephaestus?
Prometheus. Hephaestus and then is the blacksmith.
And then the outer ring was Prometheus. They were like, oh, come on, hit Prometheus.
Come on, Prometheus face.
All right. They subdued the dragon with a moment that made me yell the F word at the screen.
Yeah. He was not happy. So... But before that happens, though, Ram Man shows up, Teela shows up, Man at Arms shows up. They're all using teamwork to fight this dragon, and that is when Teela,
Ram Man. Oh no! Oh,
Teela's the one. Or no, I'm sorry. Man at Arms is the one who made Matt. Utter
and explicative.
Yes.
Guys, I'm going to try to swear less in this podcast. Mm-hmm. I've listened to a couple episodes, and I'm on the loose, guys.
No, I'm typically the one who
Not that swears. I'm not swearing, and swearing will happen.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Oh, thank you. Don't say that.
It's not your
not
fault.
You, man.
Not you, man. Come on. But I thought Ram Man was there because he tries to... No, you're right. I think it's later.
Well, this was after like they were kind of not having much effect. Then Man-at-Arms shows up and it's just like...
I have a gun. Pew.
Pew, pew. Yeah, and then... Yeah.
Thank God I made that stasis ray. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I was looking... Oh, God, what does he say? I was looking for a... God damn it, what the fuck did he say? I was looking for a test subject.
Like, for my stasis ray.
Like, no, you...
No, you weren't. No, you weren't. The writers were looking for a way out of this situation.
Michael Reeves.
All right. Well, they subdue the dragon. They decide, like, oh, man, there's dragons all over Eternia. This isn't good. Back to Skeletor... And they toss a dragon. At some point, He-Man, during this fight, lifts up a dragon. Oh,
he lifts up a dragon, like, butt end and tosses it.
It's just like, get out of here.
I think that's when Duncan hits it with the stasis ray. Then it cuts back to...
Snake Mountain. That's
Snake
it.
Snake Mountain.
Skeletor's watching through his crystal ball what's mm-hmm. happening.
I think this is where I joined.
This is where
around where you joined.
100%. And he's like, man, that growth serum worked.
That was it, growth serum.
Therefore, good. My writing down, growth
therefore. Serum. But Beastman, again, super lippy.
Well, because, I mean, he keeps trashing Beastman because Beastman couldn't control the dragons at first. Mm-hmm. And he's just being Skeletor. Skeletor's a dick.
He is.
But that is... When it starts to pan through the room, that's when we have Beast Man.
Yep.
We have Teela.
Yep.
We have Ram Man.
Yep.
Or no, I'm sorry.
No.
We have Trapjaw.
Yep.
Evil-Lyn.
Yep.
Panthor.
Yep.
And Jitsu.
And I wrote down, Matt and Matt yell, Jitsu!
Yep.
Jitsu. Pretty racist.
Jitsu looks like something out of the World War II propaganda pamphlets.
I wrote down that Jitsu was animated in collaboration with the Hong Kong Fui Institute of Cultural Sensitivity.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Luckily, he does not speak for this episode.
He says one sentence.
Oh, what? Wait, he said something? I must have been out
of the room. You see that tick mark? He spoke once.
He spoke once. He had one sentence, and it is something, it's bad. It's bad. I don't know. I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. All right.
It was later on.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's him and Ram Man fighting.
Yeah, I remember that.
And before, let's get to it.
All right,
so Jitsu is there. And they're like, hey, you know what? We got the Dragon Pearl. We're going to go to Castle Grayskull. I've got He-Man and the crew all distracted with these dragons. We're going to run right in there. We're going to be good to go.
It's ours. Castle Grayskull, finally ours.
The world is ours. He is P.
Because
Diddy.
Merman was so stupid. And
what?
He gave me that stupid pearl for some Eternian silver. What a dum-dum. God, Merman.
God.
We're so stupid. And like Beastman is starting to get sick of all this constant negging of Merman, where he was just, you could see like the cartoon red going up to the top. Maybe not.
There's a moment there where like Skeletor is being Skeletor. It's like, I'm not Beastman. Control some more dragons for me. And Beastman's like, look, you're not going to tell me what to do all the time.
One of these days, Skeletor. One of these days. And that's when Skeletor says, what did you say? And Beastman, seriously, is just like, like he just,
I didn't say anything.
Beastman becomes a Hamburglar.
Yeah. Shit.
Oh, man.
We've never seen the Hamburglar, like, after a few days of stubble. We don't know. I'm just saying, we don't know, man.
We don't know. He could be in a hamburger.
Okay, so opens up a portal. They go outside
Another
Castle
portal.
Gris- yeah.
Portal travel takes care of like any problems they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if it is across the planet. Portal, it doesn't matter if it is 100 years ago. Portal.
Hmm. Have you ever seen that that thing about Chuck Jones's rules?
No, I have not.
It's brilliant. We'll watch it post this. But Chuck Jones had rules for Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. And one of them was like, the number one, no harm will ever come to the Roadrunner. No harm will ever come to Wile E. Coyote. But like he made like 7 rules. And I feel like in the writer's room for He-Man, they had to have had something very, very similar, where it was just like, Skeletor will never win in the end. Skeletor will never win in the end. Beastman will always be bumbling. And portals take care of 90% of our transportation needs. Right. The rest is air jet ski.
Yeah.
Which makes the return.
So, Skeletor has Trapjaw and Jitsu and all of them there, and Panthor. No, Panthor doesn't do anything. And he calls out Sorceress. Like, give it up. Castle Grayskull, ours now.
Yep.
Sorceress, not having this. Where she, like, she's kind of trash talking, but in like a waspy old white broad kind of way, where she's just like, Skeletor, you're no match for me. Go home and knit, or like whatever the fuck she says. And he's like, ha-ha, send some bolts her ways, where she's just like,
get these bolts out of here.
What's wrong with you? And then, like, just send some, you know, magic.
Glowing hula hoops.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
that is exactly what
glowing hula hoops, where, like, they're all just kind of like, ugh. This is mildly uncomfortable.
It is at this point that my note-taking takes a serious dive.
No, I see that. Whereas, like, my, I've still got, like, half a fucking page, and yours it's and just... Eric's have dropped off precipitously.
It's because you're writing words, like, precipitously on there.
This is true. It's very true. Well, no, actually, I've started abbreviating shit.
Oh, look at you.
Because I wanted to take, like, better notes. But it's hard to take really good notes for a show that does not allow you to take good notes, but whatever.
So this episode also revealed something, just to kind of go back a little bit, that Stratos is from a place called Avion.
Oh, I did. Man, what, awesome. I shouldn't have been eating that damn sandwich during half this episode. I missed a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he goes, Avion is under attack by, and then Tila goes,
Dragon. Yep. Yeah. No. I wrote that part down. I just didn't hear him.
Yeah.
Talk about Avion. Oh God.
Ugh. Yeah. It made me real angry.
Yeah. That. Can I tell you the rage that just built up here?
So Skeletor and his crew are at the bluffs near Castle Grayskull.
Right.
And he goes
the Bone Bluffs.
Mah. Mah, sorceress. Ha. Look. At the Dragon Pearl.
And then the sorceress gives what can only be described as the worst line reads in show history. Skeletor, you're no match.
Yeah, this was her like waspy old white broad trash talk where she was like, Skeletor, you are no match. Go home and knit. It was. I mean, I don't remember exactly what her trash talk was, but it was along those lines. And so,
also, I have clutched my purse closer to myself.
Well, I never.
Well, I never clutches pearls. It's a real shit show.
Yeah.
Luckily, Skeletor ain't hearing any of this, and he goes, Evelyn. Shoot your magic through the pearl, and it'll be 100 times
more powerful.
Same laughing effect as it is in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, so
they reused that for a
15
good,
times
for
in this episode.
2 minutes of this episode.
Yeah. So she shoots the magic through the Lochnar, whatever it is.
Yep.
And magic hits the sorceress. For some reason, she gets pulled out of Castle Grayskull and trapped in the Dragon Pearl. Which,
of course, she does.
Okay, all right. So now there's no sorceress. So Castle Grayskull,
but once again,
wide open.
Once again, when she's before she gets locked in there, she's like, "Oh yeah, I forgot I have telepathy. Give me a second." Hey, man. You must come back to Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, the way she says He-Man, I wrote it down as He-Man because that's fucking how she says it.
Right.
I gotta wonder who this woman was and what she was up to while performing the role of Zoar on the show.
Doris, can you wake up for a minute? What?
Oh, what?
Can you read this line for
did
us?
Did you bring my gin?
Doris, we have your feel-good juice right over there.
Well, okay. Make sure the tonic has quinine.
Actually, it's we couldn't get any Shrimp. Tonic water or gin. We got you Night Train Express.
Oh, any hooch will do. Here we go. Beastman. You're no match, He-Man.
And someone is there like,
we'll just edit it together.
We have what we need.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post.
Yeah, they just have such a bunch of words, and then they piece it together.
Once again, He-Man's like, oh, I know where to go.
Grayskull.
Snake Mountain.
No, they go Grayskull to first. They go Grayskull to Grayskull. Because yeah. I love it because He-Man gets knocked on his butt. Because, like, Castle Grayskull's doors are open. Skeletor knows what's going to happen. He leaves the doors open, and he's just waiting for He-Man to come barreling in. He-Man runs face first into a force field, gets knocked on his butt. And I love whenever He-Man gets knocked on his butt because he makes this face. Like, huh?
Yeah.
There are a lot of classic... Oh, please let me have that frame of animation yep. faces.
This is an arm drawn by no one. It is worth nothing.
This is an original Snagglepuss by the original animator.
It's worth something. Sorry, there's a little Android's dungeon for you.
There is a single cell of Beastman looking as if he's getting an exam. Because he is just straight.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Actually, he does that a couple times in this episode.
Yes.
When the dragon first, like, is like, I'm not listening to you. He's just like, oh, like, where he needed to change afterward. Because, I mean, this dragon's, like, fucking 100 feet tall.
So, Battle Cat is running as fast as one of the sky sleds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A.K.A. the jet ski of the air.
Yeah.
I'm like, how fast is Battle Cat?
Battle Cat's fast as fuck, man.
He's
Magic Cat.
Yeah.
It's also like 10 feet long and shit. I mean, it's a big goddamn cat.
It's a big cat. All right. So he runs super fast. He runs right into the force field. He-Man does the old dipsy doodle. And he's like, what are we going to do?
So they're all just kind of sitting around scratching their heads.
Duncan's firing guns at it, yeah. Like, motherfucker.
Yeah, no science or sorcery will be able to burn through that force field. Like, thanks, Duncan.
Duncan, shut up, Duncan.
Yeah, where everyone is getting kind of sick of Duncan debunking both science and sorcery.
Hey, Duncan, nobody wants to hear it from you right now.
Just, Duncan, go sit over there.
Duncan, if you mansplain your fucking stasis gun to me one more time, I've had it.
Your colon's going to be in stasis.
I'm going to beast man you. All of a sudden, Orko's like, piglet. Oh, yeah. What did Prince Adam say earlier? Teamwork.
Yeah,
he actually has a flashback to... teamwork. We're like, seriously, all you see is Adam go like, teamwork.
Dental plan.
Lisa needs braces.
Dental plan.
Lisa needs braces.
It was that non-linear. It was just like, he could have just said, hey, we should work as a team.
It's Adam's face floating in the sky. Teamwork.
At that moment, I look at you guys like, what the hell just happened?
Why? What fever dream did I just walk into?
Oh,
didn't you know this is actually Apocalypse Now?
Oh, my God.
All right. Back on track.
No science or sorcery.
No science or sorcery. Orko's like, teamwork.
Yeah.
He-Man's like, you're right.
Good job, Orko.
I know just what to do.
And I think I know just the team. Or some dumb bullshit like that.
He goes, but how are we going to... Someone goes, Stratos, because Stratos is a naysayer. Stratos is like, but how are we going to control that they're... The idea comes out, we got to get the dragons.
Yeah.
Stratos is like, how are we going to control the dragons when Beastman controls the dragons?
Simple. We'll control Beastman. Yeah, pretty much. Where it... Yeah, that's just so crazy. It might work.
That's the kind of crazy I like.
So... Teela and He-Man portal, of course, into Snake Mountain because portals.
Sure. Right?
And they're just kind of like
which brings
around,
up so many questions. People's
stuff. Like, why don't they just go there, beat the fuck out of Skeletor?
Yep.
Like, and make everyone watch as they knock all of Skeletor's teeth out. So Beastman will just be like, hey, guys, I'm just here for the dental plan. Okay.
Like, yeah, Beastman's like, guys, you're right, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. And Triclops is like, guys, I wanted to work for you. You didn't extend
you said
the offer.
No.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
We hate you.
So they're just walking around touching people's stuff. Like I think He-Man used like Beastman's toothbrush or something. Just like, yep.
Oh, this is nice.
Wow, this is
Oral B.
Yeah.
Oh, Sonicare. Yeah. This is really nice.
Why are there two toothbrushes and... Wait a minute.
Who?
Evil wins!
All right.
Anyway, just because you weren't invited to the wedding, He-Man, does not mean that it is not legit, okay?
Yeah, you don't have to be at everything, He-Man.
Love
yeah.
is love is love.
Is love is love.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a beast. She's an evil woman. Whatever.
They're meant to be.
She's an evil Teela.
They're meant to be.
They get along. They have stuff in common.
All right. Beastman pulls some bullshit. He's riding a dragon.
Yeah, he shows up on a dragon and is just like, what are you doing here, He-Man?
Dragon's all like,
the dragon's just like, I'm not really into this, but so, like, he's a beast, man. I
don't know if you noticed this. I'm sure you did because you are a flight of eye. But the dragon only shoots one continuous flame.
Okay.
But when it goes to He-Man and Teela, it is balls of flame.
Well, when it comes out, it looks like a cone, but it dissipates.
No, this is...
I guess.
No.
It's like a stream of water that turns into the big
turns into a bucket of water.
Yeah, sure. Wonder Twin style.
Yeah.
Beastman, He-Man, Teela, they're fighting. You think things are going bad because Teela kind of gets knocked over. He-Man is like, hey, what's going on, Beastman? Beastman is like, ugh, no big deal. Anyway, Beastman gets pinned up against the wall, and they put Beastman in stasis. And Beastman's face, when they put him in stasis, is the dumbest Beastman face.
I mean, out of a lot of dumb-ass Beastman faces, this is towards the top. Also, I think one thing we should probably point out is that when they put you in stasis, you turn blue.
Correct.
Mm.
So he's no longer red and orange. He's blue.
I noticed something in the animation when... Beastman came in on the dragon, and the dragon shot the fire. He-Man pulls out his sword and deflects the fire, and it goes and it hits it like a bone pillar, right?
Yep.
So, and then the bone pillar starts to fail, and it tips over. But rather than animate the pillar tipping over, if you watch the entire cell, so the entire room actually tips over. The whole thing.
What the fuck?
Yeah, well, you know, that old trope.
Yeah. The entire room flipped instead of the pillar.
Yeah, that is one very important part to mention, is when that pillar falls over, He-Man actually jumps on top of the dragon and stops it from hitting the dragon.
Yes.
Because the dragon's being controlled, right?
But then He-Man throws it near Beastman.
Mm-hmm. Well, because fuck Beastman.
Right.
And then collapses into a bunch of smaller pieces, and that's what He-Man uses to pin Beastman against the wall, and that's when the stasis, and you get Faker Beastman.
Right, there. You get Faker Beastman. So then they're like, get this dragon back to get Grayskull.
Well, hold on, man, hold on. That dragon is sweet on Teela, because Beastman's no longer controlling the dragons. Hey, we're not bad. You know, we just have an asshole for a leader.
Ain't our fault.
Yeah, we didn't elect him.
Let's find out the dramatic conclusion of this episode, and we'll be back with more matters after this.
Trap Jaw, Trapjaw, Battlecat, and He-Man each sold separately, string not included.
That hook won't stop He-Man. Then Trapjaw will use his vicious claw.
Still no contest.
Then Trapjaw will use his wicked laser.
Even a one-armed army can't stop He-Man and Battlecat.
You win this coin, He-Man.
Trapjaw figure from the Masters of the Universe collection. He-Man and Battlecat figures each sold separately. From Mattel.
Welcome back to Matters of the Universe. Let's get to the conclusion of this hot episode.
So, we cut back to Castle Grayskull. Bunch of fucking dragons. And they're all just, like, not destroying everybody. They're not breathing fire. They're just kind of sitting around, like,
hey, we're
chatting
dragons.
With everybody.
And they are sweet on everybody.
Yeah. Like, you know, Stratos is just like, I need my personal space, guys. But, like... You know, at least I'm not getting burned to a crisp. So they all concentrate their fire on one spot. It burns through the
shield.
Force field. And then kaboom. And, you know, Skeletor is just like, fuck this. I'm out of here.
Instantly, Skeletor is like, hey, guys that are here also to fight this crew of the strongest universe fighters. Boy, that was a turn of phrase that doesn't exist in the English language.
Well, that sounded kind of like it was translated from another language into English and then translated in another language again.
By Google Translate.
Yeah. Yep.
World Best Fighters. Oh, haven't you played World Best Fighters?
I have.
It's by Capcom.
It's like Contra.
Exactly. but with Street Fighter 2 moves.
So
this is when Jitsu and Ram Man have their
bot. Well, so everybody floods into Castle Grayskull because the spell is now gone, right? Everybody can get in. And so this is where Ram Man and Jitsu fight. Jitsu karate chops something, obviously.
Right, like he's got instantly.
He's got a giant fucking hand.
Yeah.
He karate chops stuff because...
because of course he does.
Because of course he does.
Hong Kong Fooey.
Yep, and so Ram Man hits him, and they go into a wall, and like it collapses on them, and then Ram Man is just like, "Oh, I think I won, right?" Or some dumb fucking. Oh God, it was just.
Oh, Ram Man.
Look, we get Ram Man is not the brightest, okay? But you don't.
Oh man, poor Ram Man. I should just write an essay about Ram Man.
In concussion awareness.
In concussion awareness. Exactly. Tell the truth. that was accent free because I didn't want to make an asshole out of myself.
It's okay.
More than I already am.
That was a good decision on your part.
Thank you.
Because I wasn't going to do a goddamn thing with Jitsu. So.
yeah. Nope. They did everything short of play like...
A gong,
exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm shocked that the moment he split the table, they didn't play
it wasn't
a gong.
A gong, yeah.
Thanks for the restraint. All right, so everybody's fighting. Skeletor escapes, but then it goes back to Snake Mountain.
Yeah, he takes a portal, goes back, and I think Trapjaw and Stratos fight a little bit.
Yep.
Evelyn and Teela obviously fight a little bit.
Yep.
And then He-Man follows Skeletor through the portal.
He-Man's already there.
Oh, the shit, that's right. I'm sorry. He was waiting for him the whole time.
The whole time.
Skeletor, like, runs in and was just like, whew, that was close. And He-Man was just like,
breathing
down your neck!
Yep. Doom, 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 doom. Doom, doom. Yeah, so
the two of them... getting a little bit of a dust up. And that's when Skeletor takes the dragon's pearl, informs him, you know, like, I have the sorceress's powers now.
Yep.
And then grows to be like two times Skeletor's normal size.
Yeah, so straight up Attack on Titans, He-Man.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he grabs, I loved this part so much. He grabs He-Man by the arm and starts to squeeze. And He-Man just goes like, oh, and he goes down to his knee and he's making a face. And I was just like, most powerful man in the universe, huh?
But then he's like, ooh, a boot.
Yeah, so he grabs him by the heel, and, you know, he heel picks him and turns him over and throws him right over the cliff. And as he goes over the cliff, isn't that when he drops the dragon's pearl?
Well, yes. Well, Skeletor's hanging on to the dragon's pearl, but then He-Man helps him up, pushes him to the side. Skeletor lands on the cliff. All of a sudden, Mama Dragon. Mm-hmm. She shows up, scares Skeletor. He drops the dragon's pearl.
And she jumps down and goes to get it.
After they subdue Skeletor. Because remember, Skeletor does that thing where he's like, ha! Well, looks like you'll never see your beloved sorceress again. Let me press this thing on my chest that up until this point has done nothing. Even though we're 9 episodes into this cartoon. Boof! Hand them jet ski of the sky away!
Well, I don't know. Are you sure? Because he turns into little Skeletor.
Right. But that's after the pearl gets knocked out of his hand by the dragon.
Oh, okay. All right.
The dragon Mutombos him. And it's like, poof. Oh, my friend.
Yeah.
And then Skeletor's like, well, that's your sorceress. Bye forever. See you guys. Poof. Beep. Run. Jet ski away.
Jet ski.
Pretty much.
And then He-Man's like, well, I'm not going to say anything. And then the dragon goes and gets the pearl. Mm-hmm. And then I love when the dragon's like, and is this your pearl? Let me do something here. Breathe some dragon air. Poof.
It breaks.
The sorceress.
Sorceress comes out in a cloud.
Now, this part made me insane.
Yeah, you were not happy about this.
Because she doesn't say anything and instantly turns into the bird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then He-Man goes, let's go home, Zor. Again. Now, I know that when the sorceress turns into the bird's name is Zor. But how would you know that, right, unless you knew it?
Well, I mean, they've said the bird Zoar. I mean, because the sorceress's name is Zoar.
Yes,
but that's
for the toy packaging. Did it?
It said Zoar.
Okay,
but no, for the sorceress, it was the sorceress, and
but for
Zoar,
the bird, it was Zoar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which just drove me crazy.
Would both come in the package?
No. No, because on the toy for Zoar, it had big fake plastic wings, and on the claw up the leg, it was stiff plastic, and there was a trigger on it.
So
and you no, and you would hit the trigger, and it would flap.
Oh, okay.
It would flap the wings, and there was an evil version of it, but I don't know what that was at this point. But there was an evil version of it, and I don't know if Evil Lyn became it or what. But yeah.
Ooh.
There was a
foreshadowing, guys.
Of Zoar.
So they get back to Castle Grayskull. How?
Portal.
A fucking portal. we're not done with portals.
Somebody
guys.
Was like,
"We are not done with portals."
Next to the dartboard that has face at the top. There's a dartboard that just says "Transportation in Eternia." They threw it, and they're like, "Space sleds, I guess." How many times do we have to use it? 5. All right. Well, here we go.
That was our budget. Use the portal now.
Use the portal now.
I mean, to be fair, drawing a portal versus drawing a sky sled is probably a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So they get back. Everybody's just kind of hanging out. And Tila's like, yeah, so while we were fighting, Evil Lyn made a portal and they all escaped. And that's basically that. And we've just been eating like grilled cheese since then. So what's up with you guys? so they then... Yup, make a big fucking portal, send all the dragons back to the mother, except for one
baby dragon
who jumps out of the portal, grabs onto Orko, and starts making out with Orko.
Yeah.
It was really weird. Orko was like trying to fight off, like, no.
The dragon just kept tonguing him.
Just kept, oh God, it was, And everyone's having a good old laugh over it. Meanwhile, Orko's getting assaulted by this dragon. Okay. Just fuck.
Classic Eternians.
Classic. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, classic He-Man.
That's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the episode.
So, everybody here that just watched the episode, did you think that the lesson was going to be about, I don't know, teamwork? The thing that they mentioned?
I knew that it wasn't going to be teamwork because I was reading about the episode beforehand.
Ah.
And I accidentally saw that it was not about that. But then when I was watching the episode, I started to kind of see them setting it up. So the lesson for the day was treating animals with respect, being nice to animals, because animals depend on you and they love you.
Yep.
And, you know, like usually we make fun of the lessons and stuff, but I really like that lesson, so I'm not going to...
It's a good lesson.
Fun of that.
It's a good lesson.
Yeah, it's a good lesson, especially, you know, for people who have, you know, pets or who have had pets before. You know, I mean, the thought of someone mistreating one of my pets would land them a big fucking punch in the face.
That's right.
So, you know, yeah, be nice to animals and stuff.
Hey, man.
Well, there was, Orko said something about dogs, cats, and...
Hamsters.
And hamsters.
And even hamsters.
And then saying something about, you know, the love you give them, they return like even more. And I thought, hamsters?
Well, and yeah, in the end...
I had a hamster when I was a kid.
I had hamsters.
Do you think your hamster loved you more than you loved the hamster?
Are hamsters really capable of love? Probably not.
This is what I'm asking.
Yeah, no, I mean... Well, but what is he going to do? Say hamsters are soulless... You know,
oh, the disposable
soulless
lighters.
Love vacuums. I mean, no, yeah. Because then you're just going to see hamsters getting catapulted all across the country. No,
fair point.
And I think that's the lesson of this episode of Matters of the Universe. Be good to hamsters.
Yeah, don't catapult them across the.
Do not catapult them. Across the universe.
No matter how funny you might think it would be, it will not be funny for that hamster.
I mean, it might be a
and
little,
animal cruelty.
Well, I mean, if the hamster was wearing like a little cape and he had a crash helmet.
Yeah, crash helmet.
And
on.
He was in a vehicle that would cushion him.
And we
from
can guarantee
impact.
That they wouldn't be hurt
yeah.
or traumatized.
Or traumatized. I mean, it's like a stunt hamster.
Right, just a sweet stunt hamster. Well, or if it was just like you showed the picture before, then you just show the rocket going and the hamster's not in there.
Yes.
And then it lands and it cuts back and the hamster's just fine and we're
and he like and he kind of like crawls his fat little body out of there.
Oh, sweet little
and then,
body.
You know, just don't get him near a gerbil.
We are at Matters Pod on Twitter. The show is facebook.com/matters as well on Facebook. Matters Pod, excuse me, on Facebook. I'm at Matt Noss on Twitter. Maddie.
I am at Karate Dracula.
I am.
Nope.
Okay. At Eric Hanke, spelled exactly how it sounds.
Thank you, everybody who joined us on the live stream. We had a few people popping in and out, and we appreciate that. We're going to be doing that pretty much every episode because it's what we're doing now.
It's pretty cool.
Yep.
I've made an executive decision with Matt. We like it. We didn't hate it. And now Eric's part of it.
That's awesome.
And we're happy.
Oh, my God. Are you looking at a picture of G-Force?
Yeah, G-Force. were those hamsters or gerbils?
They were guinea pigs, I thought.
Guinea pigs. Oh, okay.
Hence G.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
All right.
We will have another episode next week when we watch Season 1, Episode 10 of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. If you have any He-Man thoughts or questions, people are sending me a lot of He-Man stuff. I have to say, I got, and I'll have to show it to you later, Eric and Matt, but on Twitter, it was pretty great. Somebody wrote to at Matt Noss, which is amazing. This was from at Seafoam6. AKA Dad Legs. It is a football game played by He-Man characters, and Spikor keeps using a stiff arm. Oh, I was so happy. I was so ridiculously happy to see that. So that is awesome. Thank you so much.
He sent me something last week, but I don't remember what it was.
Oh, I don't know who this gentleman is.
Neither do I.
So we are very, very grateful that you're reaching out to us.
Keep sending us stuff.
Keep sending us stuff. And I followed him immediately. That was the fastest refollow I've ever done in my life. Don't know if he's following me, but I followed him immediately. Awesome. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
Thank you, and thank you, and we'll see you on the next episode of
Matters of the Universe.
The Street.